Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. So excited for our Freedom Panel on next Freedom Panel. Come on up. Woo-hoo-hoo! Come and sit along here on these chairs. Now, you can do whatever you want, anytime you want, but just know if you move your chairs very much, you may be falling, but it's totally up to you. Awesome. Kelly, will you actually sit on the end? Will you trade Brooke? Okay. Awesome. Yeah, you guys just did. All right. Beautiful. We've even got a good variety of hair colors up here. This is good.
That's yeah. All the hair colors.
Yeah. It's the way to be. All right, guys. So now is when we get to do the real stuff. Hi. And this is just so much fun because we have gone a many places today. We have been to the place where we have gotten the clarity about really where you're at right now. What the truth is. That's great. Welcome to the front row. Way to upgrade. No, all seats are equal. All right, guys. So we have gotten the clarity of where you're at right now. And I want to just say how proud of yourself that you should be for looking at the truth, because the truth will set you free. It's that first point on the GPS and the coordinates where you really find what's going on. So I'm so proud of you guys for getting that clarity. We've also gotten the clarity about what you want. Not just what you're going to have when you're done with this, but what you want in life, which is such an important and beautiful thing. And now it's about putting it all together. For the rest of the evening, we're going to talk about actually getting there. And there are so many more than just these ladies up here. But this is a sample of the women who have gotten free and have that freedom in their life because of the choices that they made and the work that they've done. So we're going to, one, celebrate them because it's such a beautiful thing. And two, we're going to hear from them exactly for their own life, like what happened. So their journey, their story, as we've talked about so much and the importance of that. And then we're going to ask them some questions. You guys, if you have some questions, you can ask. I have some other questions, and I promise it's stuff you can answer. And we're just going to look at the actual journey. We're going to look at the reality, because I'm not here to get you guys anything in theory. I'm here to tell you the truth, and I'm here to get you to the place that you want to go, if that's your choice. So I want to give you reality. And I'm so glad that you're here, and just be so proud of yourself. Give yourselves a hand, you guys. You've come so far today. So beautiful. All right, so we're going to talk about the actual journey. And for you guys, let's just start out in the next, 45 minutes or so. What we're going to talk about is just your real journey. And feel free to use sort of the work that we've done as a reminder and a guide. So maybe talk about some of the hardest things for you, what the cycle was like for you, maybe how long you'd been in that cycle, what was most difficult about that. And then go ahead and touch on what do you have now? What is freedom like for you? What has that showed up like in your real life? And then we're going to dive into some other fun stuff. So
I have like the next hour and a half?
You have about 7 minutes.
Okay. Is this working? I can't tell.
Is it working?
Okay.
All right, awesome.
Okay. So my binge eating started, it was 30 years ago now, when I got divorced after an 8-year marriage. And my ex-husband always let me know that he was not happy with my weight and blamed our divorce on it. And I was a size 10. and it destroyed me. And I was like, well, I'll show you. I'm going to eat whatever I want. And I did. And over the next probably year and a half, I gained about 100 pounds. Didn't realize that I was a binge eater. I just thought I was an emotional eater, and then I thought I was a sugar addict because that was my go-to binge food. And over the next 29 years, I would diet, and I'd lose, you know, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, and I'd gain back 50, like almost immediately. And I kept looking for the diet that would work for me. And about in 2011, so this was after like 25 years, I found the diet and I lost 120 pounds. And I never got to my goal weight. And then I started using that diet to maintain my weight. And it's like Lydia said, the more you diet, the harder it is to lose the weight. And I would get more and more frustrated, and that would cause me to binge more and more. And after like 6 years, in the last, it was more like the last, after 4.5 years, I started really binging again, and I was getting desperate. And realizing how much it was affecting my life. And my sister turned me on to Lydia and her videos. And we never talked about me being a binge eater, though. And around that same time, I saw something on Facebook or online about binge eating disorder. And I was like, that's what I have. I just thought I was a sugar addict. I'm a binge eater. Now I had something that I could deal with, you know? And after watching her videos, I read Brain Over Binge, and it really resonated with me because I knew I had been over my divorce for 25 years, but I could never stop the binge eating. It was a habit for me. So I read the book, did the program, you know, in her book for like 6 weeks, and I'm like, I've conquered this. I'm done with binge eating. I'm going to use it to diet better. And I went back on that diet that worked, and it kicked my binge eating up another 3 notches. So that wasn't my answer. So I've told Lydia this before. I'd rather eat glass than ask people for help, okay? And it took everything I had to make that appointment for your free breakthrough session. And I was scared to death that it wouldn't work for me, but you know, it was Andrea that did the call with me, and I just decided, it's either say yes tonight or you're gonna be a binge eater for the rest of your life. It's your decision. So I said yes. And really leaned into the process and decided I'm gonna do everything Lydia tells me to do. I don't care how, you know, crazy it is or whatever. And I did the work, and I never binged again after my first night on the program because I had to binge before I started. And I can say that I have been free from urges and binging ever since day one, really. And what has it meant in my life? I have been realizing that, you know, just how small I have let my life become, because I was always a social person until I put all that weight on, and then I would hide away in my house and I became very unsocial. And that's not who I am, and I'm not willing to live like that anymore. So I'm actually considering moving. I live in San Diego. I'm considering now moving to North Carolina and starting a whole new life. So that's how far it's brought me. And you know, am I exactly where I want to be with my weight? No. Will I get there someday? Yes. Am I going to be happy in the process? Yes. And you know, it's just, I'm so much happier not worrying about food all the time. I don't give it any bandwidth anymore, excuse me, at all. And yeah, and that's all I can say is like I am 100% happier than I used to be.
Yes!
My food issues started when I was 9. We had a guy, my first love of my life. He drove this beige truck, a big box truck, and every Tuesday he would deliver this can of chips at our door. Charles chips.
We had those.
I loved that man. I would chase him down the block. Right? And about that age, I figured out, if I stand in the pantry and eat when nobody's home, I can eat cookies and I can eat all the chips, or not all of them, because then I'll get caught. But I figured out how many exactly I could eat before I'd hear one of my parents go, "Who got into the chips?" So I kind of navigated that a little bit. So from 9 on, that became the thing. Sneak the food, sneak the crappy food. The more, you know, what is the phrase? Stolen honey tastes sweeter, something like that. But of course, with all that, I felt really sneaky and the shame that goes with that. And it was rough. My mom and I wasn't allowed to diet until I think I was like 14, and she bought me my first Diet Coke. And I can still remember having iceberg lettuce with diet French dressing and a Diet Coke and going, "I'm a woman now." And during college, it was okay. I was so busy walking everywhere. I had no money, and the dining hall was not always open. So I'm like, all right, I guess that was a thing for when I was little, and now I'm done. Once that was over, though, and I got married at 22, and it was a very bad match. I was extremely lonely. So food was my friend again, the other man. My ex was very vocal about, I could never love somebody who was fat. I could never love somebody who was old. And I thought, I'm aging every day, and got some extra weight. So loneliness got even worse. When I had kids, the loneliness got worse. And I can still very clearly remember, like you said, parking your child in front of the TV so you could, this was my escape. "Don't bother me right now, mommy's eating." "You're always eating, mom." "Yeah, but right now, so you need to go." I was a pastor's wife. There's a lot of food in the church world. So I was always scheming, how can I eat that and not be seen eating that? And it just, the sneakiness just became, it was like having a gorilla riding my back constantly. And it was like every other area of my life, I had integrity, not this. I would take extra servings. I would stand in the kitchen and eat as fast as I could. I would get up and eat at night. I would stop on the way to work. I mean, just all this, ditch the trash before you get home. After a while, I started spending money on diets. And I don't think there are too many diets out there that I didn't try. And over the years, $50,000 spent on that. It got to the point I was extremely lonely, because now not only could I not connect with people, but I didn't want to. Because if they got close, they'd see. Eventually, they're going to catch me eating. Craziness. Got divorced about 5 years ago, and I'm now engaged, and he's never had an issue. He's got a metabolism like a volcano, and he's like, "Hey, as long as you're happy in your body, I'm good." And I'm like, not happy in my body, but okay. And so after a while, he's like, "So what's the diet this week? What are we not eating?" And I thought, shit, doing it again. Mm-hmm. And it was sneaking. And we have very few ground rules in our relationship, but sneaking is, that's not a thing. And I'm like, I'm sliding down this, and I'm sneaking. And I'm spending money. And at one point I was on a diet that required me giving myself injections of I don't know what, really. And I didn't want to show him that. So I'm trying to inject myself. I hear him coming down the hall. Hide the hypodermic. Oh no, this looks worse. What are you doing? Oh, it's just some silly diet. You're giving yourself an injection in your ass. I'm like, move along, nothing to see. And he's like, okay, just remember, you know, like, I'm cool. I don't notice if your weight goes up. I'm not going to notice it when it goes down. It's your package. I love what's in the package. I enjoy the package, but what's in is the most important part. And I had gotten to the point, the last diet that I was on, I had a diet coach, and of course I'm on her product, and she wanted me to track everything I ate. And I balked. I said, I'm getting angry tracking. And she's like, well, you're just non-compliant. Okay. So I stopped with that. I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't even know how. I hadn't seen any of Lydia's videos. I hadn't listened to any podcasts. I hadn't read anything. But up popped an ad for the webinar. All right. I'll try it. And I listened to it. And I thought, oh my gosh. Because you sit on that, no tracking. I'm like, you have my attention. And I did it. Now, my fiance and I, we don't have commingled funds yet, so I didn't have to tell him how much it was. And when I finally did break, you know, I was like, well, this is no secrets, so okay. So I told him, and he heard $500. He goes, wow, that's a lot, $500. And I'm like, you have no idea. So I clarified with that, and he's been watching, and he's like, you just seem happier. My kids are like, huh. You're actually present. I've discovered I really enjoy my kids' presence now that I can actually be fully present with them. I feel a little bit, I don't know, has anybody watched Braveheart, the Mel Gibson movie from long ago, right? So William Wallace at one point, and he's riding back and forth in front of the troops, and he's just yelling, freedom! That's me now. I love that. It's a whole different life. I don't think about food now. I enjoy food. It used to consume probably 95% of my time, of my waking thoughts. What am I gonna eat? What am I not gonna eat? How am I gonna do this? What about that? What if I get this? And it's just gone, and it's quiet. And it's not like running on the hamster wheel anymore. And I'm able to be present, and my heart is open because it's not consumed. So it's, thank you.
Hi everyone, my name's Brooke for those that don't know me, and I can so relate to almost everything that's said here. And so I don't even know where to start my story because I haven't honestly rationalized it. I haven't figured out exactly what happened or where it started or whatever. And I don't know, those of you that do know me, I'm a statistician. So I'm very like analytical, very methodical, very like to track cause and effect. That's what I do. Where is the trend? Where did it start? What is, you know, whatever. So naturally, I did gymnastics growing up. It was always very important to look a certain way. Then I went into diving, same thing. I played competitive lacrosse in college, and we were lifting in the mornings and then having 2 or 3 hour long practices in the afternoons. And I would wake up and have spinach for breakfast, spinach and some salmon for lunch, and then broccoli for dinner, and maybe some chicken. And it was crazy. And then I would all of a sudden be like eating my roommate's cereal just by holding the box in my room, just eating it and not knowing what's going on, not knowing why, or just feeling completely perplexed or just obsessed, and driving all the way to the grocery store and then just buying all the brownies I could find and like chips and bread and everything, and then it was just, it was kind of scary. I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't think I had a, it was an issue. I didn't think there was anything big about it. I honestly don't even really know what I was doing. There were a few big things that stood out. There was one night when I started crying because I got to choose between two soups. One was chicken noodle and one was like vegetable or something. And the vegetable soup had 150 calories, but the chicken noodle, which is the one that I wanted, had like 300. This is dinner, you know? Now I would never try and have a 300 calorie dinner. But then the fact that I wanted chicken noodle, but I knew I probably should have had the vegetable, and then I just started crying and it went into this huge mess. My roommates walk in, like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I can't choose my soup. So eventually, it really kept going, and then I started purging, I started over-exercising, I just got scared that it was going to continue forever. There were so many nights where I was just crying in a ball and just like, I have depressive issues, or I can't handle my emotions, or I have all these traumas from my childhood and I'll never be able to like figure those out, or oh, my whole family was sexually abused and so that's in like my past and like I'm carrying all these things, like whatever, trying to figure out, going to talk therapists and crying, and then my binging not even changing at all, and then going to hypnotherapy, and then going to everything that we all try, juice fasting, going on diets, my weight just fluctuating, me freaking out, and then eventually I came across Katherine Hansen's book, and I read it, and I related, and it was awesome, but similar to Kelly, it worked for a couple weeks, and then it just, somehow I couldn't get it to work. And then so I had watched some videos, I had done some earlier work with Lydia, but then thank goodness I decided to do the program, because after that, I think the idea of having a coach and someone to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, there's no shame in this, there's no guilt, you can get out of it, it's not something you have to have for the rest of your life. That was really cool. And the accountability. I think I might have asked you the same question 15 times. And every time it was like, it wasn't like, Brooke, you asked this last week. What's wrong with you? Why can't you figure this out? Because it's confusing. You had so much patience, and thank you for that. You just say, it's okay. It's just chatter. You know, just work through it. And so I'm really grateful for that. Try and wrap it up. Gosh, it goes kind of quick.
We're good. We've got time, and we're going to come back and discuss. So, okay, yeah, cool. We're okay.
Now my life is completely different. I find myself singing in the car, and I find myself, it's not perfect. Like, it's not exactly what I thought recovery would be like, but it's so nice to not have to worry about food all the time. And I still have my fair amount of chocolate that I don't, there's certain things where I'm like, wow, why do I keep doing this? But in general, I haven't binged at all. I feel very confident and comfortable in what I'm eating. And I think like my boyfriend and I will have pancakes for breakfast, and that would have never, ever been something in the past that would have freaked me out. And now I'm just kind of like, oh, whatever. Anyway, so I think that's, or I'll stop for now.
Okay, here's what my chatter has been saying as I've been sitting here. It's like I can relate so much to you guys, but my chatter's been saying that you're too much. You've been like, you know, the Pollyanna-ish, like too happy cheerleader, but that's actually how I feel, actually. This has just been amazing. So my story, so I'm 52 years old. I first noticed that I had kind of a weird relationship with food when I was about actually 6 or 7. I would have to go straight from elementary school to ballet class. And so mum would give me some money to, you know, buy a snack on the way to ballet. and I figured out very quickly how to get the most volume. So that's, you know, that's my thing, volume. So it was this, you know, sweet sort of bread roll thing. And then, you know, get to ballet, change into my little leotard, and the Māori name, the indigenous people in New Zealand are the Māori people, and the name for stomach is a very cute name, it's puku. And so my stomach would be so full that the ballet teacher would always, you know, Jennifer, your puku's sticking out, suck it in. So that was sort of, you know, my first, like, okay, I eat. I really, you know, sort of figure out how to eat a lot of volume. I don't know why. And then I get told off for it. I'm one of four, and I'm the only one in the family who has, you know, struggled with weight. And so at about, I don't quite remember when, it's somewhere between like 12 and 14, Mum took me to my first Weight Watchers meeting. And then it became, you know, I was eating a different meal from everybody else in the family. I was eating lettuce, you know, just iceberg lettuce. They didn't have nice lettuces back in that time. with the, you know, the oil-free vinaigrette, which I hated, and tuna out of the can. And everyone else is just, you know, they're eating like Wiener Schnitzel or roast chicken or whatever. So I started feeling different, but I also got tons of praise for it as I started losing weight, like just tons of praise. And so that sort of started the sneak eating. You know, there was a hallway down the back of our house that ended up back in the kitchen, so I could sneak into the kitchen when everyone else was watching TV in the living room after dinner or doing homework or whatever. I could sneak down and go into the freezer and take frozen food out, like, you know, frozen bread rolls or something, and take them back to my room. Or I could sneak in, Mum always had her handbag over the kitchen door, I could sneak in and steal money out of her wallet, and then, you know, the next day go and buy candy bars with it. So that was sort of the beginning of it all. And then, you know, I've just been on every single diet, and they would work, you know, work for a while, and then I would, you know, start binging again. And so the weight, so when I said earlier today that gaining 50 pounds would not have been that my highest point, that was because the last diet I did before I discovered Lydia was a diet program that was, you know, tons of restriction on food types, but also had a stimulant prescribed to us. And so I was down at a, you know, a weight that I hadn't been in just forever. And so then a woman that, and it's just kept me, my career is interesting. Like my whole life I've just basically created it to have distance between me and people. So it sounds like a really interesting life that I have, and don't get me wrong, it really, really is. But it's been like moving from country to country for work, where quite often I was living in a hotel. So, you know, go to the client site, come back to the hotel, order room service. That was kind of how I was living. Like for about 2.5 years, I didn't even have a home. I just like was living in hotels. And so it was just always about keeping this distance because I was so ashamed of what I was doing. Another part of the cycle, which is part of the freedom for this year, is always around, you know, sort of October, I would start freaking out about my weight before going home to New Zealand for the holidays. And so then I would start like restricting like crazy because I knew that, you know, my family could see, like, you know, is she, well, I don't even know, I haven't told them about this, but I don't even know if they were thinking this, but in my mind, the chatter was telling me that they're thinking, okay, even before I got there, is she going to be fat or is she going to be thin? Who knows? And so it was just really getting harder and harder every year to, you know, keep up that restriction. And so quite often, by Thanksgiving, I would just be completely binging again and then show up in New Zealand just feeling absolutely shitty about myself. And so it was really interesting this year. So now I'm in a relationship, a long distance. He's a New Zealander, lives in New Zealand. But it's he's someone that, you know, he just makes me want to be a better person. And so I was getting very close just before Thanksgiving. I had actually been to Hong Kong for a trade show in November, and the hotel had this buffet, like just this unbelievable buffet for breakfast that I would get for free. And I was planning, this is the hotel I stay at every year, so I was planning, okay, I'm going to have one thing of that and one thing of that and one thing of that for the first 3 days I'm there, and then I'm not going to have anything. I'm just going to have a latte for breakfast because I'm going home soon. Well, that lasted for about the first half an hour of the first day that I sat down at the buffet. And so by the time I got back to the States just before Thanksgiving, I was really freaking out because this relationship, I just really, really want to make work. I've been single for so, so long, and he's really special, and I want to make it work. And I was starting to get to the point of panic where I was about to cancel my trip home. And I didn't even realize that I was thinking about that until I got on the phone with Lydia. And so, a woman in my life who knows Lydia suggested, who I had confided in, because I don't tell anybody about this, she had suggested that I make an appointment with Lydia. And I had never heard of Lydia, so, you know, I looked her up online, and I had a long drive to friends for Thanksgiving and back, so I bought the audio version of Brain Over Binge, which Lydia narrates. And so I listened to that, and I was so excited. I didn't finish it by the time I got there, and I was just so excited to keep listening on my drive back home. And so it was interesting. By the time I got home, I was like, all right, well, I've figured this one out. And so I might cancel my call with Lydia because I'm pretty sure it might cost a lot of money to work with her. And but I didn't. And oh my God, I'm so glad. By the end of the session with Lydia, where that was the realization, like, oh my God, I'm actually thinking about canceling my trip home, coming up with some excuse to cancel that trip, and then that's it, you know. Because I was so ashamed of what my body might look like, you know, by the time I got home, that I signed up. And then I was really mad at myself because it's like, well, I'm starting a new diet, like 3 weeks before I go home to New Zealand, where there's going to be no hiding because I'm going to be with someone 24/7, whereas, you know, in prior trips home, there's plenty of time for me to, you know, go and binge eat in private. And I'm not going to be able to do that this time. And so I was so mad at myself that I started the program right before that. And now I'm so glad because it just, it gave me the practice in real life. And the way that the program works with the polos and everything, like there was a lifeline for me to Lydia. There was a lifeline to the other people in the program. It was just unbelievable. And I had the best time. And what was really interesting is the chatter before I went down was like, oh my God, why, you're gonna really screw this up. You've spent money on this and you're going down there and there's gonna be all of these foods from your childhood that you love that you're gonna wanna binge on. What a waste of money. It's just another diet that hasn't worked. You know, like the chatter was so loud about it. And then the chatter's bloody sneaky. So then when I came back and I hadn't binged and I'd had an amazing time, the chatter was saying to me, well, of course that was easy. You're in New Zealand. You were eating fish every day that you just caught that day. You were eating vegetables out of the garden. Of course it was easy. Now you're going to blow it because you're back in America. So that's how the chat, like, and so Lydia pointed out to me, well, do you see that's like, you know, opposite sides of the argument, so how can they both be true? So it's just been incredible, and I, you know, there's still things I'm working on. One of them is body positivity, because, you know, I'm like that with the buoy that Lydia was talking about. Because I'm so newly out of the program, the allowing, I am definitely allowing myself to eat all sorts of food groups that have been so forbidden, so scary for me for so, so long. And so my weight has popped up a little bit, but I now trust the process, and so it's actually not worrying me all that much. The chat, it still worries the chatter, but it doesn't worry me.
So that's my story.
The chatter is saying that my story is really boring and nobody wants to hear it.
Isn't that interesting?
My first memory of food issues was when I was about, maybe 13 in junior high. And I had really, really low self-esteem. I wasn't smart like some of my friends. I wasn't the athlete. I sat the bench in basketball and volleyball. I wasn't outgoing. I wasn't popular. And so I had just horrible self-esteem. And I think I coped with that. My first memory of kind of binging was I came home from an outing with friends, and it was very late at night. My family was sleeping, and I remember getting a big thing of ice cream out of the freezer and eating ice cream and crackers at like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, what is going on? I had no idea what was going on, and I continued that behavior. And noticed that I was, a few months later, that I was gaining weight. And so I panicked and started to restrict my food, and I lost weight rapidly, very, very easy. And I noticed then after losing the weight that that was the thing that I was good at. That was the thing that I got my attention for, and people were paying attention to me. So instead of being smart or the athlete, I was the skinny girl. And I was good at track, and so just getting that high, it just stuck with me. And yo-yo dieted throughout high school, and then when I got to college, didn't really restrict anymore, but still had a lot of craziness around food. I remember stealing my roommate's food in the middle of the night and standing up in the pantry eating cereal and bags of chocolate chips. And you know, then I would go on a slim fast diet for a while, and it was just, yeah, lots of craziness around food. And then I got married, and you know, not a lot of things were quiet, you know. I didn't have a lot of restricting or anything or binging. But for some reason, my second year of marriage, I just got crazy again around food. And I don't know if it was because my marriage was kind of bad or what happened, but I just started restricting like crazy. And I noticed that I had these really, really weird food habits. And I would eat salad, but to try to cut calories, I would put I would use ketchup as a condiment instead of salad dressing, and just really weird behaviors. And I chewed tons and tons of gum. I remember from my, like, I would leave for work, and from my house to work, I would have chewed already like an entire pack of gum, just chewing and then spitting that one out and then grabbing a new piece, and just bizarre behavior. And so these behaviors really freaked my husband out. I mean, just, he was extremely, you know, he was not very kind to me about it. He's, you know, he said, "You gross me out. You look so thin and bony. It's disgusting." And "You're weird," and so that definitely destroyed the intimacy in the marriage. And so to kind of make things better, to cover everything up and make it look like everything was better, we decided to have a child, which that'll solve everything. And I had to do fertility in order to get pregnant because I was just, you know, so hormonally imbalanced. And when I was pregnant, I was completely 100% free around food. I ate It was just normal eating. I allowed myself to have whatever I wanted, and it was awesome. And but then immediately after I had my child, everything just went right back to square one. So I guess fast forward a few years, ultimately, you know, the issues ended my marriage. And so I thought, well, now that I'm divorced out of this marriage, now my eating issues are going to go away. Now my life is how I want it. I'm away from this marriage and everything's going to be great. And that was just the opposite. Actually, things got worse because I was living on my own and I could just, you know, binge as I wanted to and didn't have to hide anything. So I noticed that I have two daughters, and I'm very conscious about, you know, positive body image in my house, and I have, you know, my children have no food restrictions, and I'm just very conscious of that. But I think they were picking up on my behaviors, and, you know, they would make comments like, "Mom, you're eating a hamburger tonight. That's really weird." And so that was just a red flag that they were definitely picking up on my behaviors. So that was kind of the point that I knew I needed to do something, because my biggest fear was to pass this on to my daughters. And so I had tried, you know, like everybody, I've tried every kind of therapy, I tried every book, and then I came across, you know, Lydia's videos on YouTube, and then just decided to sign up for the interview. Since doing the program, yeah, it's just completely changed my life, and the people around me have noticed. And recognizing chatter, it's showed me that I have so much chatter in other areas of my life too. So it's amazing to see how my life is changing in my relationships and my career, once I recognize I don't have to believe my thoughts. And so that's why I've decided to go on to the Mastermind program, because I need that coaching to kind of get me in the other areas of my life that I want. So, yeah.
Love it. Oh, love it. We are celebrating you guys. Just thank you for sharing your stories. So let's talk about like the real stuff. I mean, that was the real stuff. Let's talk about more real stuff. So that decision, right? Like, we all make a choice. And you guys could have all not fixed this. That was absolutely available to you. And like we talked about in the panel earlier, whenever you have an opportunity to change, there's always resistance that comes up. Always. So I would love to hear for you guys, what was coming up for you telling you not to fix this? You guys all had an opportunity, you all qualified for the program. What was the resistance that came up, and why did you decide to do something else? You hadn't had my coaching yet, right? You didn't know about chatter. So what, when that resistance came up, made a difference for you wanting to move forward? You can start over here.
I knew that there was a glimpse of hope, and I knew that if I didn't take that hope and go with it or try this program, that I would die this way. And my health was deteriorating rapidly, just due to the crazy eating and the stress that it was putting on my body. I was having heart problems. So I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I was in AFib, and just scared the crap out of me. And my significant other is a doctor, and so I called him in the middle of the night and told him what was going on. And ultimately, I ended up in the emergency room, and they tried all kinds of drugs to convert my heart back to normal rhythm, and it wasn't working. And so they had to cardiovert me, and that happened twice. So, and also because of the fatigue and just my health being so bad. Oh, from the food hangovers too. I had horrible food hangovers after binging. The fatigue was so bad that I started taking my boyfriend's modafinil, which since he's a shift worker, he takes modafinil, and it's a stimulant. And so I started taking that just to get me going in the mornings, just to give me enough energy to get out of bed and get to work. And so anyway, to answer the question, I was pretty desperate. And I was pretty rock bottom. And so I knew that if I didn't try this, then there's a chance that I could die. So
thank you so much. So a couple of things around that. Like, and there's no right or wrong answer, right? And we haven't like talked about this beforehand. I'm just like, I love learning about you guys and like this curiosity of just your journey. So with that, like for you, were you like, all right, I'm gonna talk to Lydia and whatever this person says, I'm gonna do because I need to do something? Or did you have some things that came up for you? Did you have some fears that came up for you?
I had a lot of fears because I had tried so many other plans, so many other therapists, so many other types of therapy that I told myself this will probably just be another failure. And so it was scary because I felt I was kind of setting myself up for failure, and I couldn't take any more failure. So it was definitely a risk. But like I said, I have nothing to lose. And so, yeah, I kind of just overcame that fear.
Thank you.
The thing that Lydia said to me that created the most resistance on the intake call was, I think it was like one of the last questions you asked me was, are you prepared to give up restricting? And that just like, I almost said, no, I'm not going to sign up at that point when she asked me that, because I was just, you know, I just didn't want to put on weight, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, be in a thin body. My message growing up was that you have to be thin to be lovable, and so the idea of giving up restricting was just unfathomable to me. And I even sort of thought to myself, well, I'll say yes now so she'll take me into the program, but, you know, I'm not really going to do that. So, but also for me, the purging was pretty out of control by the time I got to Lydia. So it was just, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer that I just had to say yes and just, like, you know, just trust the process. But the resistance came up around the need to give up restricting.
Yeah, thank you so much. And one thing that I just want to clarify about that is the question is, are you willing to set aside the restriction in order to be free? Doesn't mean you need to know how. It doesn't mean you're not scared. It doesn't mean that you're deciding, yes, all right, I'm diet free. But are you prioritizing that if you need to? And are you prioritizing the freedom over that? So I wanted to clarify that. And thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple reservations. It was more financial and more just knowing that I had a coach in the past and a therapist, and it didn't really... like talking about it wasn't great. And I had found some success in meditation and so, and like law of attraction. And so I just kind of knew I wanted to go that direction with it. So I kind of was like, yeah, but I'm glad, thank goodness I said yes.
And what was it? What was that came up, right? If you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll go this other route, like this, like what was sort of the resistance? Maybe it was going another route, but what was it that helped you to move forward, because you did.
Oh, man, I don't, maybe just the suffering had gotten so bad. I was just desperate. And so, like, well, I can't stay where I am, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, thank you. This is all just really interesting data. Yeah.
So I almost feel like we could all say it all at once. It'll work for everyone but me. I'm so special. I'm so specially screwed. there was the money, of course, but it was also kind of like, well, I've spent, like, once we sat down and did numbers, I was like, all right, you know, I've already spent $50,000 and spent 41 years doing this, so maybe, you know, maybe it'll work. I was really nervous that it wouldn't work and that this would be just the most spectacular of my failures. And it wasn't like a $50 book or a program or whatever where you can just throw it in the trash and pretend it didn't happen. This was going to leave a mark. So, but I remember laying in bed that night after I signed on the dotted line thinking, it's a good thing it's not free, because if I have skin in the game, I'll take it seriously. And so I can either get free, and whether my weight goes up or down or whatever, at least I'll be free. Or I can keep trying to get thin and stay crazy. And which way do I want to go? If I have to choose, and maybe I don't have to, but if I do have to choose, which way? So I'm really glad I invested that in myself.
Awesome.
I think for me, I had definitely gotten to a point of desperation. I'm sure most of you, at least in here, have seen the show My 600-Pound Life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, at that point, I'm like, I'm on the fast train on that trajectory, you know, like in 2 years, that's where I'm going to be. And I would not allow that to happen. But this weight has also served a purpose in my life, because my ex-husband didn't like it. I really still kind of believe that all men hate it. And it serves a purpose for me because it keeps them at arm's length. So it was a little scary to give it up. And I used binging to deal with my emotions for 30 years, you know? So, I was not hesitant enough about that to not do it. But at that point, I was just done. I was like, I do not want to do this one more time. And that's why there was no choice for me. I had to do it at that point in time. So.
All right. Give these guys a round of applause. Thank you guys so much for sharing your real beautiful stories. I love that. And I want to keep that real for you guys, right? Like, you can hear me talk, and, you know, we can talk about things, and I can tell you sort of the process. But I want you to see the reality. I want you to see the things that are true. I want you to see real lives. And thank you guys so much for being willing to share.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!